What is up, everyone?
Hey, y'all.
It's been a while. We've missed like a week, 2 weeks.
We apparently forgot how to do intros in that time.
Obviously, because, you know, we kind of suck at intros. It's just...
it's a thing we always have.
We're really awkward people, so...
well, that's true.
Yeah. Today is an interesting murder day. Perfect day for murders. It's snowing outside. Always the perfect day to come over and do a couple murder podcasts, right?
You know it.
Obviously. So this one, it's a little interesting. I gotta say, like, when I was reading about this, I was having a full-on, like, anger issue with it. I don't know. I was angry with this person because I was just like, what the heck?
And I actually haven't heard of the case that she's going to be talking about today.
She doesn't know what I'm about to say. Oh, yeah. Let me just tell you, this is one of those cases where it's like you can get on the level of the murderer, but you don't think it's right. Like, okay. It's where you can understand her reasoning,
okay,
but it's still not right.
Alrighty.
So, this is about the Pan family.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, these are some, like, odd names, but that's because these are... you know, not Americans.
Okay.
So, these are Bic and Han Pan. Yeah. Yeah. The mother was Bic and the father was Han.
Okay.
They were Vietnamese. The father was born and he grew up in Vietnam.
Okay.
He moved to Canada as a refugee in 1979, and it was pretty much the same with Bic. She was born and grew up in Vietnam, and she moved as a refugee to Canada. So, in Canada, they got together, they met, you know, got married in Toronto, and they settled down in a nice home in Scarsborough, Canada.
Okay.
So, you know, normal.
And Canadians.
Canadians. You know, they gotta be nice if they're Canadians, right?
I know, that's like what I always think.
Yeah. So, on June 17th, 1986, they had Jennifer Pan, their first child. And in 1989, they had their second named Felix Pan.
All right.
So these kids are just a little younger than my mom.
Oh my.
My mom was born in 1980. That means she would have been 6 years old when they had Jennifer and 9 years old when they had Felix.
Okay.
So this was all...
like in that same time period.
In that time period. Yeah, in that time period.
Okay.
But everything that happened when we were alive.
Oh.
We were alive when they were... oh. When people were killed.
Oh.
Yeah. The Pans worked at an auto parts manufacturer named Magnet International in Aurora, Ontario.
Okay.
So, they are kind of in the same business as my dad.
All right.
My dad owns an auto parts store. An auto parts place... auto body shop. Auto body shop. I'm not smart. They've worked there since they've owned it since I was before I was born, yet I still am not sure about it. So, Han was a tool and die maker, and Bic made car parts.
I thought Bic made pens.
But I'm... I don't know why, what's happening to you today. Normally, I'm the one who makes the weird jokes. That's not good, Jaden! By the way, we never actually introduced our names. My name's Isabel.
I'm Jaden. She's the blonde, I'm the brunette.
Yeah, which is why I'm switched. This is why I'm the one who's always stupid and makes stupid jokes.
Today, it's not going that way.
Obviously. So, they were the type of people who worked really hard for the money. Okay. They were the type of people who wanted their children to have a life they couldn't,
mm-hmm.
to have a more comfortable life. So, what?
I just keep thinking about my children.
My God. Oh, my God. Sit down.
Hold on, I will. I'm trying to get my standing hour for this hour.
Oh, my God. So, they were people who worked really hard, and eventually they saved up enough money to buy a house.
Awesome.
They bought a really nice house, actually. It was big. Super nice. Like, not sweet. Something you
like
know most...
like a mansion
some,
or
not like
small
a mansion.
Mansion?
It was like a small mansion. But it was a really nice house. It wasn't one okay. of those crappy houses, you know?
All right.
In 2004, they purchased their house. It was in a really nice territory called Markham, and they also had some really nice cars. Markham.
What is this?
Julia Markham.
Oh.
We were talking about a different murder that we wanted to do, but we can't because there wasn't enough information.
It would have been like a 5-minute podcast.
Yeah, it was about a Julia Markham who killed her 7 children. So
we could do like a pocket podcast.
We should do a pocket podcast. We'll do one. We will.
We will. I'm so creative.
I know. We're going to do a pocket podcast now. A pocket podcast. Try saying that 5 times fast.
Pocket podcast, pocket podcast, pocket podcast.
Okay.
Moving on.
Back to the... Moving on, yeah. They also had some really nice cars. Bic drove a Lexus and Han drove a Mercedes.
Okay.
So, you know, they had nicer cars than we do. Gotta say.
It's true. I have a 2005... Hyundai Elantra.
She has a piece of crap car.
That a dog ate. So
a dog ate.
The interior looks nice and special.
So everything was going super well, right? They had money. They had a nice house.
Nice cars.
Nothing could possibly go wrong. Right?
Until it did,
obviously. So there's also something really important to know about the Pan parents, though. They're really strict.
Okay.
So, they're what some people call tiger parents.
Okay.
Which is like a Vietnamese or a Chinese term for parents who are super strict. They have certain expectations for their children.
So, it's kind of like a helicopter parent in a way.
Kind of, okay. Yeah. But they were really strict. They had very little leeway when it came to certain things.
Okay.
They expected high of their children, good grades, getting into a good college, stuff like that. They wanted their kids to really excel. So, obviously, you know, I wouldn't survive that.
No.
I'm not the perfect, I'm far from the perfect child. So, if my parents were like that, I'd probably be in the grave by now. Which is a weird term as to what's about to happen. So, Jennifer and Felix were known to be great kids. Felix studied mechanical engineering and went to a prestigious university because Han wanted him to be in the mechanical business.
Okay.
He wanted him to, like, because they worked at an auto parts shop, he wanted him to be in that, but they wanted him to have a greater knowledge.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, Jennifer was a very meticulous child, though. She played lots of instruments in school. She did figure skating. She actually wanted to become an Olympic figure skater, but she tore a ligament in her knee, which eventually caused her to have to quit.
That's sad.
You know, dream crushed.
That's sad.
Squashed like a berry.
Oh my god.
Like a berry. She was thought to be an amazing student, but she turned out to have some lies locked up that we're about to get into.
Hmm.
Yeah, she had some lies deep down in there. Yep. I'm awkward. I'm sorry. I'm tired. I'm not tired. I don't know. I'm stupid.
Oh my gosh, wait. Do I know this case? I might.
You might.
I think I might know a little bit of details about what you're about to say.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, there was a lot of pressure on her to get good grades, but she was in the C average grade point. She did not... Like, she was average.
My chemistry grade.
She did not do well in school that much. The only thing she really excelled at was music.
Okay.
She loved music, playing her instruments. She played the, I feel like she played the flute at one point, and she played another instrument. I can't remember what it was. But again, there was a ton of pressure to get the good grades in every area of school.
Okay.
So instead of getting straight A's and actually working hard for her grades, she started forging her report cards to get straight A's. So then she can make it look like and convince her parents that she was a star student.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, that's always the right way to go, right?
Yeah, of course.
If you can't get good grades, just forge them.
Of course.
And, you know.
That's your only option.
Yeah. She attended a Catholic school, and she eventually actually had to transfer because her grades and her behavior were so bad. So her parents knew that she had to transfer. But I guess her parents must have thought it was for a different reason. Like, maybe she was too smart for it or something.
She was too smart for Catholic
school. I'm too smart for you people. So, since her parents were so strict, now that she was in this new school, they had a, let's say, like, a schedule. Their schedule was that every single day they would pick her up from school. They'd basically do this to watch her like a hawk. They'd get her in the car, take her straight home, and monitor all of her extracurricular activities to make sure she wasn't just doing anything. Like, if she was just, like, watching TV, you're done. If you were reading a book, you're done if it's not a textbook. You know, they monitored everything.
That's not okay.
It's not. They were insane. The main issue her parents had were two boys. Boys. Sound familiar? Boys. Jane's been having some experience in that arena lately.
No, they don't! That is a lie and a half.
But they were terrified that she would get distracted from her schoolwork, so she wasn't allowed to go on dates, wasn't allowed to go to school dances. She wasn't even allowed to have friends that were boys. Like, all of her friends had to be girls. Like, if she had a friend that was a boy, they would cut her off. Like, I have some friends that are guys, and I don't know what I'd do without them. Like, they're some of my best friends.
Yes.
And, like, if I can't be friends with them because, like, they're worried I'm gonna date them, like, what the heck?
They're, like, my brother now.
Exactly.
Like...
It's just,
I have a lot of brothers, if you really think about it.
Yeah, it was like, no boys, period. Like, Zippo. Unless it was her father or her brother, she wasn't allowed to be near any boys. So after a while, she really started to feel trapped in her home.
I wonder why.
Plus, you know, she was also faking a bunch of stuff. She was forging report cards. She was lying. So she had this whole other persona.
Yeah.
And so it's like she's lying for two people. So it's like even worse. So she's just like miserable. She's trapped. Like in a box. It's like escape room. Like an escape room. Like she's trying to escape. But you know, the way she escapes isn't always great.
Always.
Always. Even though her parents didn't want her having boyfriends, eventually she met a boy named Daniel Wong.
Okay.
He was in 11th grade. He was a year older than her. They were both in the band, so they had, like, kind of some things in common, which I guess could have been one of the reasons why she liked him. A while back, they had gone on a field trip together to Europe, so it was far away from her parents, which is always great. They played a concert there. Their band did. And she had an asthma attack from all the smoke. Because people were, like, you know, doing that weed. Smoke weed every day. the weed, smoking, all that. Okay. So, okay. She had an asthma attack. And apparently Daniel was really there for her. And he was amazing for her. So, I guess that was one of the reasons why she really liked him. And she felt he was there for her.
Mm-hmm.
So, they started dating in the summer. All behind her parents' back. Her parents had absolutely no clue she even knew this kid. She actually had early admission to Ryerson University, which is a university that's not at all far from where they live. Like, it's driving distance. Even though she failed a calculus class. So, they revoked her admission, and she lied to her parents and told her that she was still going. That her early admission was still intact. Yeah. She even created a fake acceptance letter, and they believed it. Like, my parents would be so suspicious about that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like.
Yep.
They would be like, you graduated, you're not even that smart. That would be my dad. She never even graduated high school.
Oh, my.
Yeah, she never graduated high school.
Oh.
She lied to her parents about that, too. She never walked down. She never got a diploma. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Alrighty.
So. It was just, like, a crazy mess. Han actually wanted her to become a doctor, But after a while, you know, you get to know your child. You're like, you can't tell them what to be.
Yeah.
So he was like, okay, I'll settle. I still want you in the medical department. So you're going to be a pharmacologist. So, you
Wait,
know.
What?
Yeah.
A pharmacologist?
He was like, I can't. Because she couldn't be a doctor because she didn't have the stomach for that. Like, she couldn't handle that, you know. So her dad was like, you know, I still want you in the medical department. So you're going to be a pharmacologist. And Jennifer was like, okay, yeah.
Is that a word?
Pharmacologist? Yeah, like a pharmacy?
It's a pharmacist.
Okay, pharmacology is a real thing because I Googled it. Pharmacology. A pharmacologist, I think, is what they called it. She's Googling it. I know pharmacology is a real thing.
I spelled it wrong.
She spelled it. It's P.
Oh my gosh, it is.
Yeah. Is it like
Is it called a pharmacologist?
Yes. She's got issues.
What the heck? That's a thing?
Yes. I think it's like the same as a pharmacist. You get into
No, it's not. They investigate and analyze drugs, chemicals, and other substances to discover how they affect biological systems and assess how they can be used safely. So they're like the they're like the FDA kind of.
Okay, we Google too much during our podcast. We always Google pictures of people. By the way, Jennifer Pan, not that good looking. I mean, like, not that good.
Yeah, no, she's curious. Gonna go look.
Just type in Jennifer Pan. It'll show up her whole family. She's really not that good looking.
She looks like a stressed out teenager.
She looks like a typical, like, a typical Vietnamese child, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the stereotype. She's just looking. Okay, let's get back to the story.
I'm listening.
Shall we? So, like you said, he wanted her to get into pharmacology, so she agreed. She said she would go to college for 2 years. And then she would transfer to the University of Toronto and get into their pharmacology program.
Okay.
So she had this all planned out, even though she wasn't even going to college at all. So they agreed to that. To handle the money situation, because, you know, college is expensive, and, like, what are they going to do with all that money if she's not actually going anywhere? She told them that she was going on all scholarships and grants. Like, you wouldn't have to pay a dime. Like, everything's taken care of. I did so well in school that they're going to pay for it, even though I didn't even graduate high school. She even would purchase textbooks, and she took online and everything, and she'd take actual notes to show her parents that she's actually doing something. She wouldn't do it. Like, she went in. Like, took it too far. Like, she went all in. Next level crap. Jennifer taught, but instead of going to college, she taught piano lessons and she worked at a restaurant to make some money to filter her life.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
That's
so this girl's a little crazy. So 2 years went by and she finished Ryerson University and her parents asked her if she was still going to Toronto and she said, yeah. After a while, Jennifer convinced her parents that, you know, the commute was difficult. You had to go from their house all the way downtown. She convinced her parents that it was easier for her to stay at her friend Topaz's house because it's closer to University of Toronto.
Okay.
So she was like, you know, it'd be a lot easier if I moved in with her. It'd be a lot closer. I wouldn't have to worry about the commute, you know, all that. So they agreed, and she moved in with her friend Topaz. Topaz.
Like Tony Topaz?
Yeah. So, she wasn't staying with Topaz, though.
I kind of figured.
You know where she was staying?
With Daniel.
Yup, with Daniel. The boyfriend. So, she lied.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, she lied to her parents saying that she was going to Topaz's house. And then she lied to Daniel's parents saying that her parents were okay with her staying at Daniel's.
Oh.
So you know,
legit.
All the parents were fine with it because they believed that this was a good kid. Lies! So another 2 years went by and she graduated college.
How is this going on for so long?
Exactly! Her parents are so stupid.
They are not smart.
They aren't. But you know, we're getting to a good point. We're getting there.
Okay.
So she graduated University of Toronto. I'm using air quotes. Graduated. And her parents were expecting her to graduate sometime soon. She'd been in college for 4 years now. 2 years at Ryerson, 2 years at Toronto. Jennifer and Daniel went online and found someone who would forge a diploma and a transcript full of A's.
I'm done. Like, I can't.
How much money did this girl have to do all that? She told her parents, you know, this is one of the best parts. She told her parents that there was an overly large amount of students, so she could only invite one person. And so as not to make either of her parents feel bad, she invited a friend to her graduation. Because she could only invite one person. That's what she told her parents.
Oh my gosh.
So after she graduated, her parents wanted her to volunteer at a blood testing facility called Sick Kids. So she told her parents she'd have to work late night and weekends. Which, you know, just...
This is just special.
Like... You know, it's just a coincidence. She has to work late nights and weekends, so it's easier for her to stay at Topaz's more. Right? After a little while, her parents start to realize that she doesn't have a uniform, doesn't have a key card to Sick Kids, anything. So they're like, you know, they're like, what's going on here? So to help to, like, try and get their minds at ease, they decided one day that they were going to drive her to her work. They were going to drive her to the hospital. So she agrees.
Sweet goodness.
She agrees. So they drive her to the hospital and she books it inside. Books it. And her parents follow her in because they're like, okay, I want to see where you work, you know?
Oh, sweet goodness.
She hides in the emergency room until her parents have left. She hides in the emergency room until her parents leave. Like,
this is just special.
Yeah. So, you know, at this point, they're like, they feel like they're being duped. Their daughter's acting really strange. They're like, what the heck's going on? So, they called Topaz, and she said that Jennifer wasn't there and never was.
Well.
So, when Jennifer got home, they sat her down and started to legit interrogate her until she finally confessed to everything. Almost everything. She told them she never worked at Sick Kids, she never attended University of Toronto, and that instead of living at Topaz's, she was living at Daniel's, which really pissed them off. But she kept them under the impression that she graduated high school and that she attended Ryerson. So she told them a half-truth. Yeah, so, you know, they still think that she's graduated high school. So her parents were furious when they found out. And they really put the clamp down on her.
I bet.
Like, clamp, like a chip clip, just like, you're done. They took away all of her electronics, phone, laptop, anything she had. They made her quit her job at the restaurant, so all she had was teaching piano lessons. They basically cut her off from the outside world. They even tracked the mileage on her car and added it up so she wasn't going anywhere she wasn't supposed to.
What the heck?
Like, they went crazy. And Jennifer was miserable.
She felt
like she was worse than when she started. She thought it was like, she said that she actually thought it was like living in house arrest. She tried every chance she could to see Daniel. She even did the old style trick of putting blankets under your comforter to make it look like a person. And then sneaking out to go see him. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, the next morning, her mom opened the comforter and saw that she wasn't there. So, you know, that just made things worse.
I can only imagine.
So, they wanted to pretty much stop any contact with Daniel. Her dad even said, you can see Daniel when I'm dead. Like, okay. You know, little flashback to what's about to happen. So,
oh my gosh.
They tried to get her back into college and wanted her to be a tech girl. They wanted her to get into technology more. Her dad even said that, he said, yeah, her dad was, like, going crazy. Like, can you imagine if your dad did that? And your parent, yeah. your mom did that. Like, that'd be
Yeah, no.
Like, I would...
I'll pass.
I'll jump out the window. I will. Don't kill yourself. So, you know, they clamped down on her even further then. And after a while, Daniel had had enough. He's like, Jennifer, you got too much drama going on. Your family won't let you see me. I'm trying to imitate his voice. Your family won't let you see me. They're too strict. I can't see you. So I'm going to break up with you. So he broke up with her.
Smooth.
Which made Jennifer even worse.
Yeah.
She was.
Can imagine.
Broke. Like, she almost broke her. So she felt like everything was out of her control. So then, to make things worse, she found out that he moved on quicker than she thought he would and started dating a girl named Christine.
Okay.
So she was pissed. She even tried to break them up. She thought that if she told Daniel that some guys came into her house and attacked her and then sent her a bullet in the mail, and then she could pin it on Christine mm-hmm. to make it think that Christine was, like, threatening her not to go near her man or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then that would make them break up. But that didn't work, you know? She's not that bright. I mean, she did convince her parents that she graduated high school, but she's still not that bright.
No.
Mm-mm. So a few weeks later, Jennifer reconnected with a guy she knew from her childhood named Andrew.
Okay.
Andrew had, like, some mental issues. Like, he had a lot of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Depression.
Mm-hmm.
He had at one point actually told Jennifer that he thought of killing his father at one point.
No.
Because he just, like, didn't like his home situation.
Yeah.
Jennifer said that this sparked an idea.
I knew you were gonna say that!
To stop her tiger parents from controlling her life, she decided what could be better than being able to be with Daniel, have a normal life, if they weren't in it.
Oh my God.
And this idea, people. You know what it did?
It came to reality.
I mean, that too, but it grew.
Mm,
it grew until it, like, completely absorbed her mind.
No.
Like, it's all she could think about. So Andrew told her that he knew a guy that could get the job done.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
the guy's name was Ricardo Duncan. The plan was for Ricardo to kill her father in the parking lot of his work. She gave him $1,500 to do it. He never did the job. He basically took the money, but did nothing because, like, you know, $1,500, apparently that's not enough to kill someone, right? You know?
Right.
You gotta pay more. That's just not a good income.
Yeah.
So, he basically told her that he told her no, and she gave him the money for something else that she owed him because that wasn't a lot to kill someone. So, she didn't get her money back.
Oh.
Whatever.
Fine.
So that was, like, over with. Ricardo's done, you know.
Bye, Ricardo.
He's out of the picture, right? So fast forward a while, and Jennifer and Daniel are pretty much back together again. They're talking, basically dating. So this idea to kill her parents is still in her head. So Daniel and Jennifer come up with a plan. You want to know what that plan is?
You're going to tell me even if I say no.
Okay. They want to take out both her parents.
Oh!
So they decided that they would hire some guys to break into her home and kill her parents.
Oh.
And then obviously, you know, obviously Daniel and Jennifer would get the money from the estate and run off into the sunset together.
Cool.
Forever alone, Bonnie and Clyde on a mission. Right? So Daniel gave her a burner phone and hired a man named Leonard Crawford to kill them.
Leonard Crawford.
And you know, Leonard Crawford normally costs a lot to kill someone. But, you know, he gave them a friends and family discount. Yeah, he literally called it a friends and family discount.
Nice.
Because, you know, he's killing her friends and family. So, you know, because they couldn't afford what they would normally charge him. So they took the discount and they paid him. And they decided that he and his buddy David would kill them on November 8th of 2010.
Okay.
2010.
2010.
I'd have been 5 years old. You'd have been, like, seven.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Almost eight.
So the day came. It came. Oh, did it come, right? It came. did it come. It was a normal day. Nothing different from the rest, you know, as normal days come before you're murdered, right? Jennifer was watching TV in her room. Han was reading a Vietnamese newspaper, and eventually he went up to bed. Bic was actually out line dancing. It's something that she kind of enjoys to do, like a hobby, so every Monday she goes out line dancing.
Interesting.
And she got home at around 9:30, went upstairs, put her pajamas on, and went in the living room to watch TV. At 9:35, Jennifer...
Sorry.
You good?
Yeah, I'm dying.
At 9:35, Jennifer got a call from Daniel. They talked for a few seconds, and then the call ended. Talked for a few seconds, probably about what they're going to do that night. You know, like, something's happening, right? Okay. So, Jennifer went downstairs and said goodnight to her mom, sneakily walked to the door and unlocked it. She went and unlocked the front door.
Smooth.
Yeah, but she did it without her parents knowing, so you know, that's always great. Then she went back upstairs and watched some more TV. At 10:02, the switch in the study went on and off. So you know what a study is?
Yeah, like an office.
Yeah, like an office. So the light switch went on and off, which I guess was supposed to be like a signal telling Jennifer that they were about to come in.
Okay.
So then at 10:05, David and Jennifer were on the phone again for a few minutes, talking about who knows what. But one of the things that Jennifer did say on the phone that we found out was that she said that he had VIP access.
What?
Which I guess is supposed to mean, yeah, come on into my house. You got access to my house. You're a very important person. Come kill my parents, you know? Normal crap. So... Yeah. So apparently there was also a third hitman that joined them named Eric.
Eric.
He joined them last minute. He was like, you know, I want in on this. I want to come kill these people. Let's go. Come on. You know, normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they all walked in the front door.
No. Just marched right on in.
Oh, yeah. They just walked right in. One of them went and got Han and brought him downstairs. Eric went to get Jennifer, right?
Yeah.
Get Jennifer. Jennifer told the police that she was watching TV when she heard unfamiliar footsteps coming up. She said that they made her go around the house and grab any money they had. She handed them $2,500, which she made in piano lessons, and another $1,100 that she found in her mother's nightstand.
Okay.
Then she said they took her back upstairs and tied her to a banister with her hands behind her lower back, using a shoelace. So, like, the banister is kind of like the lower headboard.
Yeah.
Like, down on the side. And they tied her hands with a shoelace to that banister.
That was dumb.
On her lower back. So, it wasn't, like, up here. It was down.
That was dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. So, her parents are downstairs, super confused, and they're begging them not to hurt their daughter.
I would be begging for my own life. I'm sorry, but please don't hurt me.
Especially if their daughter is the one who's...
Yeah.
They don't know that, of course, yet.
Or they really just don't know that at all.
The hitman basically hinted to the parents that Jennifer would be fine. They took Han and Bic into another room and shot them both. Jennifer... Jennifer. She got called 911 somehow. And told them that I actually listened to the 911 call.
Uh-huh.
And she said that she heard pops. Like, she described them as pops instead of gunshots. Like, she was trying to be more often.
Pop, pop.
You know, I heard a pop. You know. And then in the 911 call, you can actually hear her dad screaming.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll show you that later.
Okay.
Yeah. You can go on, actually, one of the videos I watched to get some information on this was, it was a YouTube video. Her name is Kendall Ray. She does some really great true crime stories. And if you look up this one, she actually shows some trial videos and a recording of the 911 call. And it's pretty interesting. You should go check her out. But Han was not fully dead.
No.
He wasn't. He ran outside screaming until a neighbor who was about to leave for work saw him covered in blood and called 911 as well. The police and ambulance arrived and took Han directly to the hospital where he was put into an induced coma.
Okay.
So, you know, right now he's fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Bick died.
Bick died.
Bick's dead. The mother's dead. So, at this point, no one knows what happened in the house except for Jennifer. Mother's dead.
Okay.
Father's in a coma. Jennifer's the only witness here.
Where's Felix during all of this?
He's at that prestigious college.
Oh.
He's okay. Still... Yeah, I forgot. He kind of, like, had a different... Like, after... Especially even after he graduated, he, like, kind of went on to a different life.
Okay.
You know, he's not in this at all. So, Jennifer was taken in and questioned immediately, and she basically told them that some people broke in, they took money, they tied her to the banister, took her parents downstairs, and shot them. Normal story that, you know, we think happened, right?
Right.
So, after a while, they brought her back in because they were confused as to how she called 911 with her hands behind her back, because they were tied to the banister. So, in the video, that she actually reenacted what she did. So basically, her thought process in this was, so her hands are tied behind her lower back. She thinks that she reached her hand into her back pocket, pulled the phone out, and somehow looked at the phone by turning around and dialed 911 and was, like, screaming into the phone with the volume turned all the way up. Which, yeah. I, in my opinion, just doesn't make sense. Like, you would that hear, like, a muffle. Sense. You would hear, like, a muffle of some sort.
Yeah, you would know.
But in the 911 call, there was no muffle. Like, it was as if it was up to her ear.
Okay.
So, you know, obviously something's off about that. Bick's funeral was held on November 13th, 2010, at the Ogden Chapel in Scarsboro, because, you know, they're Catholics.
Yeah.
Catholics. They actually had police at the funeral spying on Jennifer because they wanted to see how she reacted to what had happened. Because, you know, like, they're already suspicious of her. Normally, there's, like, a certain way people kind of act at a funeral, and you can kind of tell if they're guilty, you know? Okay. So.
Like, did she Diane Downs this stuff or what?
Normally, let's think about this. Normally, when you're at a funeral where your mom's dead, and you just got tied up and robbed, you would normally be, like, breaking down or having some sort of reaction to this, right?
Yeah.
She had zero reaction.
Okay.
Zero so facial expression.
She kind of, like, Diane Downs.
Yeah. She had zero facial expression, zero reaction at all whatsoever, which, you know, of course everyone reacts differently to things, but she should have been a little more emotional.
Yeah.
Just a little. So they realized something's off. They had constant surveillance on her, people following her,
constantly. Nothing changed.
Yeah, constantly. Plus, there was a ton of loose ends on this story because it was supposed to be a burglary.
Uh-huh.
It was supposed to be a burglary. They came in for money, right?
Yeah.
The keys to their really nice cars were sitting in plain sight. There was so much they could have taken but didn't. They had so many electronics out, jewelry. They had a ton more money throughout the house that they didn't grab. Like, you know.
Yeah, you probably should have thought that one through.
Something's up. They didn't carry a crowbar or anything, so they had to have somehow known that the door was unlocked. How else would they have gotten in the house?
Yeah. They didn't do a very good job.
Also.
These are some of the worst hitmen ever.
They left Jennifer with nothing. If they wanted to get rid of all the witnesses, they'd have killed her, or they'd have beat her up or something. But she was like... Nothing. Like, she was totally fine tied to that banister.
Yep.
So, a couple days later...
Tied to that banister.
Tied to the banister. Yeah. A couple days later, Han woke up. He was in awful shape. His face was completely messed up. He had scars, bruising all over his face. He had bullet fragments in his face.
Cool.
He also had a shattered neck.
Mm.
He had some issues. But he remembered everything from that night. And let me tell you, boy, oh boy, was it different than what Jennifer had said. Oh, it was mighty different. He said that Jennifer was talking to one of the hitmen as if they were friends. Yeah. He also said that her hands weren't tied behind her back, that she was walking with the men, showing them around the house, and telling them what to do.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, Jennifer's story is a little off now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think?
So, they brought her in a third time. And by the way, all these interrogations, they are on YouTube. And I watched, like, bits and pieces of some of them, and they're interesting, I must say.
Hmm.
This girl, she knows her way around a lie.
As we've seen.
Oh, yeah. It got to, she spent 9 hours in that interrogation room. Yeah, 9 hours. So, it actually got to the point where they started putting blame on her to see how she'd react. Until finally, she cracked.
Finally?
Well, not really.
Oh.
She didn't exactly crack. She told them that she was depressed and felt she was on house arrest, so she wanted them to come and kill her, but they got confused and killed her parents instead. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that she gave up. She didn't want to live anymore, but wanted someone else to do it because the thought of killing herself scared her. So she wanted someone else to do it, and they thought she meant kill my parents. So
that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. So, you know, they arrested her on the spot because they took it as conspiracy.
Well.
Yeah. And they eventually found the hitman based on phone records. So they didn't get rid of... She did get rid of the SIM card, but they found other evidence on her phone and her other burner phone and put everything together. Yeah, she's not smart. The trial began on March 19th, 2014. So this is 4 years later.
2013?
14.
14?
4 years later. So all of this happened in a span of 4 years.
Keep going. I'm just thinking about the thing.
And it lasted almost 10 months, the trial.
Oh my gosh.
There were 50 witnesses. Jennifer was put on the stand for 7 days. And they had, they had a bunch of evidence against her. They had text messages and other evidence that proved her guilty, so her only card left was to pretend that she tried to cancel and they wouldn't let her. She pretended that, like, yeah, she did say that she wanted them to kill her parents, but she tried to cancel because she decided, you know, that's stupid, but they tried to charge her to cancel, so she couldn't.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Obviously. But, you know, that argument was killed pretty quick because it was weak and they had too much damning evidence against her. Like,
couldn't imagine.
Yeah. There were over 100 messages that day with, like, Daniel and the other group talking about killing her parents with no plan of canceling. Like, over 100 messages that day just talking about it.
That was smart.
Yeah. They also tried to argue that Jennifer had been through so much abuse by her tiger parents that she felt trapped and couldn't take it any longer. But, you know, that's no reason to kill somebody, so that didn't really work.
Mm-mm.
All of them were convicted on December 13th, 2014. They all received a life sentence with no possibility of parole for 25 years.
Well, I would hope.
So Jennifer would be 49 before the possibility of parole. Right now, she's 33. So she has a good
16 years
left. So only 4 of the 5 people were put away. Eric, the last guy who entered the hitman group, his lawyer got sick, so his trial got delayed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pleaded guilty and only got 18 years, but passed away in his sleep in 2018.
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, he did the right thing by pleading guilty, but then he passed away in his sleep. I don't know why. It was like apparently that's like a really long story as to why.
Was he like sick?
I don't know. But apparently it was a really long story as to why he died. So it was something I couldn't incorporate in this.
Ah.
But it could be something for another mini podcast. So Felix moved, he moved away. Han and Felix, the father and the brother, they applied for protection. So Jennifer can't have any contact with them at all.
Smart people.
And she also can't have any contact with Daniel.
Smart people.
So then, you know, Felix moved, he started a new life. And Han was very depressed. He has awful anxiety and insomnia. Everybody keeps telling people that he's not how he was. He has nightmares and he just can't function anymore. Like how can you? How can you function when your daughter tried to kill you and killed your wife? Like,
mm-hmm.
Han being alive was the huge rip in Jennifer's story because she wasn't expecting that. So if he wasn't alive, she actually might have been able to get away with that. So that's just kind of, like, crazy. Like, she could have gotten away with murder. Like, that's just...
That's scary.
Jennifer Pan just, like, killed me. Like, I was like, what the heck kind of crazy? Like, she went from lying... She was like a pathological liar to murder. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's the end of the story. So, you know, that's a great story, right? Yeah. No, I'm amazing. Kidding. Don't kill anyone. Don't kill yourself. Don't kill, period.
Don't kill.
Like we tell you in every podcast, don't kill. Don't kill yourself. Don't murder. Don't commit suicide. Don't do anything resulting in killing. Please.
I don't care how much you don't like the person. Don't kill them.
There are much other ways.
Block them on Instagram.
Stop
Snapchatting them.
Cut off communication with them. Move away. Whatever. Don't kill them. Okay? Think back to Skylar Niece.
Don't kill them.
Don't kill them because you don't like them. That's not nice.
We just didn't like her anymore. Yeah, that's not a reason to murder someone.
It's not. Don't kill your children.
There really is no valid reason.
Don't kill your children because you're in love with someone. Don't kill your children because you're in love with someone who doesn't want children. It's not nice. It's inappropriate.
It's not the way to go.
No, it's not.
Not the way to go.
Really not. Okay.
Just in case you guys weren't clear, don't murder.
Yeah, again, don't murder.
At all.
Don't do it. Yeah, don't. It's not good. Don't do it. Anyway, so, great story.
We hope you guys enjoyed this story.
Yeah. And, you know... There's always more to come.
Always.
There are a lot of murders in this world, which is not a good thing, but it's a good thing for us because we needed something to talk about.
We've kind of set our upload date for Fridays.
Yeah.
Most of our podcasts come out on Fridays.
It seems to be the lot easier day for us because Jaden always... We have to, like, go to one of the other's house, and Friday always seems to be the best day to do that, so...
Yeah, and we have had really busy schedules, like, we've all been on... Or we've both been on vacations, and she's going... on vacation here soon.
So, if we miss a Friday, don't worry, there will be...
It just means someone of us is out of town.
Or that we didn't make enough podcasts when we did, so we don't have enough. So, you know, if there's not a podcast this week, just wait for next week.
Yep.
No deal.
Like, once we get around to having less busy lives, maybe we can have 2 upload days a week.
We always try and find a day where we can make multiple podcasts so we're prepared for the time when we can't make a podcast.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Y'all have a nice day. And remember, don't kill anyone. Bye.
Bye.